If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
John Williams, we love Grace. Grace is a woman who's called our show a few times with such very good grammar, such an interesting voice, so articulate, so succinct, and says such smart things that it just positively stands out on this, a succinct smart radio station. I think we all do a pretty good job here, and then Grace sort of sets the table. So thank you, Grace, for your phone calls. And if you're still listening, Grace, please call in. Hey, John Williams, I agree with that lady, though. Grace, give Donald Trump a chance. Can you admit he has done some good things in his first week? You know, it seems to me, I invite you to remind me, and I think only because it's just so premature. If you've only been president for a week or 10 days or whatever it's been, you cannot have accomplished anything. Signing orders doesn't do much. It signals stuff. And yeah, the noise is maybe making it harder to see and hear and appreciate some of the positive things they're trying to do. But right now, it's mostly been appointments and ideas, and nothing has happened. Eggs are still really expensive. I don't remember the last time I was at a Jewel or Mariano's, but I was yesterday, and they had a big sign. We are limiting you to 2 cartons of eggs per customer. And I thought, well, at these prices, who's going to buy 3? But again, I just think it's too soon to be really bad or really good. We're just hearing what the ideas are. And yeah, the noise is drowning out some of the, remind me, 312-981-7200. John, we did give him a chance 8 years ago, and he's been given a chance ever since. The leopard is not changing his spots, says another listener. Okay, so, well, stay tuned. This Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, actually the only one that seems to be in jeopardy right now is Medicaid for the most vulnerable financially. And at 4 or 5 o'clock across, is it 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central, the funding is supposed to stop. I'm not exactly sure what that means. If it's only halted temporarily, pending approval by the president of some reports that need to come into him.
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion around this one. I can say I did hear from the governor's office, who confirms that the Medicaid being on hold will happen at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 o'clock our time.
4 o'clock our time.
Yeah, not much else is known.
Yeah. 11:35 on Tuesdays at this time, we talked to Eric Zorn, the publisher of a local newsletter called the Picayune Sentinel, and it is Tuesday at this time, and there's Eric Zorn. Hi, Mr. Z, how are you?
Hey, John, pretty good.
Yeah, I appreciate, I think I annoy some people by trying to see on both sides of the fence here, but yeah, If I was at least hoping we'd give Brandon Johnson a chance 2 weeks into a presidency, even though he's been reelected, it's not an unknown quantity here. Let's appreciate any good that our government does. But right now, Pete Hegseth hasn't been able to do anything. These executive orders haven't accomplished anything. So listen, if eggs go down to $2 as a result of Donald Trump curing bird flu, I'll be the first to tell you about it.
I was listening to you or just a second ago, and you said that the person had written in saying, gee, give him some credit for good things that he's done in his first week. And I was trying to think what those might be. One of the executive orders that I agree with was the declassification of records concerning the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy and Senator.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, that seems like a good idea. Those happened, well over half a century ago, and I can't imagine that there are any intelligence secrets in there that shouldn't be revealed. And that it's kind of small ball, but it is something. I mean, I can't say that everything he's done has offended me, but I can't also off the top of my head think of any of these executive orders that I think, well, that was a great idea.
if a pedophile or a child sex offender is off the streets of Chicago today, that's a good thing. Although, to be honest with you, it's not like they just discovered when the president signed that order where that guy lived. So I don't know why they waited for Dr. Phil to send a crew over to videotape them or live stream them arresting this guy. If he is such a pariah, and it appears like this man should have been arrested a long time ago, I don't know why they were waiting. He wasn't at Cook County Jail. It's not like the local officials weren't cooperating. They have not been, but clearly the federal government knew where this guy was. Why they waited until Dr. Phil showed up to arrest him, I don't have an explanation for. But
yeah, On the other hand, the Biden administration, just like the Obama administration, had been deporting violent criminals, perhaps not as spectacularly and with, you know, under the radar, but these deportations have been going on for a while. So it's not like, oh, they were just turning a blind eye to all these things. I don't know exactly the particulars of this case you're talking about in terms of who knew what, when, and why they had decided not to deport him. But there may be some reasons that we don't know. And yeah, I mean, I think most people I've talked to certainly are like Governor Pritzker, certainly is in favor of getting violent criminals out of the country. And Trump just the other day said he wants even American citizens who are violent criminals to be shipped to other countries. And if you saw that,
yeah.
Saw that speech snippet.
Other states. Wasn't it JB or one of the governors, maybe it was Eric Adams in New York, but one of the governors or mayors said, let's take these people, and I'm almost certain Eric Adams said this, he wanted the migrants that had been sent from Venezuela to Texas to New York to be sent to other states. He was done with it too. So we're all playing that kind of whack-a-mole game with some of these people. I think that the appointment of RFK Jr. as our Health and Human Service Secretary would be unfortunate. I think it would be laughable. One of the things that RFK Jr. advocates for, though, is some ideas about just health and nutrition holistically that I can get behind. But other things I think are so problematic as to disqualify him. But
I definitely agree with that. I think that some of the things that RFK Jr. talks about in terms of what's in our food and the influence of big agriculture on what is permitted, those are good, legitimate, open questions. And I think that they, in some ways, a lot of the things that are done to food in this country have hurt people. And I'm all for that. His skepticism about vaccines is something that I don't in general share. And there are other health ideas that he has that seem like the brain worm has gotten the better of him. So I'm really wary of his stewardship of the department. But I guess you can take a wait and see attitude, or you can say, boy, I hope that somebody gets up on their hind legs in the Republican Party and says, hey, come on, enough of these wackadoodles in the cabinet. I was really surprised and disappointed that Pete Hegseth was confirmed, given some of the allegations that came out about him last week for defense secretary. So I don't see any resistance showing up in any great numbers in the Republican Party. I guess Mitch McConnell balked at Hegseth and of course, Murkowski and Collins, but not enough to torpedo any nominations.
No, that seems to be as solid as it does make it look like Matt Gaetz was a sacrificial lamb, so as to then by comparison say that everybody else seems to be qualified. We're talking to Eric Zorn. He is the Picayune Sentinel publisher. It's a weekly newsletter. Eric once wrote a column for the Chicago Tribune. Now he does something you can get for free if you email ericzorn@gmail.com. Eric also, besides talking politics or local news, also has an unpopular opinion column or article, I guess, that he publishes. Are you doing this every week with each edition, Eric?
I've been doing it on every Tuesday, and essentially what it was my idea that a lot of us have, little opinions that we have that we realize aren't very popular, but we still hold them anyway. And I've been asking readers to submit them. One person just sent me one this morning saying the Super Bowl should be on Saturday. Like, why is the Super Bowl on Sunday? I mean, I know pro football traditionally plays on Sunday, but we all get together for parties at Super Bowl, and the game doesn't start until like 6, and then we don't get home till really late, and Monday's a work day, and
I don't think that's an unpopular opinion. I think that's a popular opinion.
Well, we'll see. That's my question. The feature is actually called Unpopular Opinions? And so I put questions out there to readers. Like, for instance, I think that recall elections are a bad idea. I just think that, once we've elected somebody, I'm a critic of Mayor Johnson's. I don't want to have an election, a special election, to see if we should recall him before his term is up. I think that could result, if we had that as a common practice, in kind of nonstop politicking, and it would make politicians afraid to make tough choices and increase the influence of money in organization and politics. And I don't like it, but put that to the readers. They were 2-1 in favor of recall election.
They are in favor of it. You know, the quip that answers that is the same one that responds to, should we have term limits? We do. It's called the next election. If you don't like Mike Madigan, if you don't like Ed Burke, if you don't like Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, don't vote for him. We have that opportunity every 2 or 4 years, depending on the office.
Well, and I'm getting clobbered today. I offered the unpopular opinion that I thought that the Allen Media Group, which is a network of about 24 TV stations around the country, was correct to get rid of its local meteorologists, its local weathercasters, and centralize that service down at the Weather Channel in Atlanta. I said that, you know, should we replace local TV meteorologists with experts broadcasting from a central location? 84% of my readers say that's a bad idea. I guess Cheryl Scott and the other weathercasters in town are safe.
Well, you're asking that question in the city with some of the most famous meteorologists in the history of meteorology. John Coleman, Tom Skilling, I could go on, but I mean, we have some very much loved weathercasters in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Taft was beloved also. I mean, yeah, all those guys. You're right. My sense is that basically they all work from the same data set that they get from the National Weather Service. And most days the weather is just going to be like, okay, it's going to be a high today. It's going to be a high of 43. It's going to be windy and there's going to be no snow. That's all most people need to know. And that they go on for 5 minutes with isotherms and things like that.
Tom Skilling would go on for 9. Tom would do it.
I love Tom Skilling. I got to say, I thought he was just a great guy. But I couldn't watch his entire weather forecast. My God, it just went on and on.
Well, you are confusing the weather forecast with news and information. I mean, and I don't mean the way that is maybe the way it sounds, but I mean, they are personalities in our community who we like to watch on TV. It's a TV show, and we really like Cheryl Scott and Tom Skilling, and so they're going to be on TV now, and they're going to tell us some stuff. And we like that. And that thing they're doing, we like. Oh, it's the weather. Oh, great. And I do care about the weather. And Tom Skilling could have come on. I could use any local meteorologist names, of course, but let's just say Tom. He could have come on and said, well, I'll tell you, it's going to be about 30 degrees tomorrow and cloudy. And that's all you would need. But you want more. So they let him do isobars and stuff.
John, you're absolutely right. People do want more. I'm wrong about this, but this is my opinion.
I'm not done beating you up.
I'm taking it on the chin.
Well, and there are days, though, where the weather is more than that. You know, we have tornadoes and straight-line winds and floods and 10-degree below zero days in Chicago. But your idea is maybe less to minimize that information delivery as it is to consolidate it, right? Or is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, and the fact is that you could have these experts. I mean, the fact is that these weather forecasters are not—they're not out on the street necessarily with their, you know, palms up trying to measure precipitation. They're in the studio looking at their computers, just like the people in Atlanta are in the station looking at their workstations looking at the computer. So the information they can impart is based on their expertise. It's not based on the fact that they know that they, you know, where exactly the Kennedy and the Eisenhower come together or anything like that. That kind of basic weather reporting can be done. Now, if you want news reporters out there talking about the fact that the weather has closed beaches or closed roads or closed parks or there's tornado warnings coming and things like that, those are all news stories. And those can be covered by news teams and often are. Often you'll see the newscast is led with not the weathercaster, but with somebody who's out on the street talking to a reporter who's out on the street talking to people who are really cold or really hot or really wet or whatever they are because of the weather.
It'd be interesting to, on any given day, I'm sure somebody's done this, watch the 4 or 5 local meteorologists, maybe listen to WGN radio because we have our own here that we use as well, but ask and catalog what the forecast is, and is there any delineation? Are they all saying cloudy and 32 tomorrow, or is somebody going, hey, I've got a hot tip that we've got a hurricane coming? There's never that much disagreement, I suppose, but it would be interesting to see if, in fact, we really are getting the exact same thing every single time from the people that we choose to particularly watch. Well, I was talking to a friend who worked at a TV station in Louisville, a great big famous radio and TV combination, WHAS. And he was telling me how the idea there has recently been, I don't know if they're doing this or not, but exactly what you said. The company that owns the station said, let's just have a pod of meteorologists in one central location do the weather forecast for all of the stations across the country. And then we save money. That's really what this whole conversation is about, Eric.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Where does WGN get its weather? You have a WGN Weather Center. Is that local? Is it?
It's a Channel 9.
It's a Channel 9. Okay, so it's not actually in your studios there downtown.
No, it is not. But I think I can claim that we have our own meteorologists. What with us being WGN Radio and TV, owned by the same company.
Right. No, you're right. But what they're doing in Louisville is exactly what the Allen Media Group. When I wrote this item yesterday, the Allen Media Group had rescinded this plan because they were getting so much pushback. And then I saw a news story this morning saying they had unrescinded it. I guess they're cutting all these meteorologists.
Wow.
So yeah. It's going to be an interesting thing because you are seeing media, local media is troubled. It's got problems. We're looking in Chicago, looking at the Sun-Times and WBEZ in dire straits. We're looking at the Chicago Reader seem to be on life support. And I don't know how the TV stations are doing for ratings, but I think they're being harmed by streaming and other things that are grabbing the audience's attention. So they are going to need to find efficiencies. And this seems like a reasonable one to me. But I'm wrong about this, John. I want to stress that I'm clearly wrong, that you would lose audience. A TV station that is reading the internet, Eric Zorn has a good point, is going to lose audience. And that's what you get for listening to me, I guess.
Well, I think the next challenge will not be should we consolidate humans, but should we have any at all. I think pretty soon we're going to just say, let's just have an animated hologram use artificial intelligence to deliver the weather, and it won't even be a human being doing it anymore. Technology is probably there to do just as good a job forecasting the weather with computers as with human beings. I'm not advocating for that touch, but that seems to be everywhere. It's 11:51. This is WGN. All right, Eric, I'm out of time with you today. We have to wrap this up. We will talk to you tomorrow on the Mincing Rascals podcast. Yes?
I am actually taking the day
off. Oh, that's right. Pete just told me you're not going to be able to do it. That's my reflex. We'll have another terrific panel that'll not be as good as it normally is because you can't join us this time, right?
Oh, I don't know about that. You have a great lineup set to go, and I'm going to be traveling back to Michigan, so I'm going to be listening avidly on my way home.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
See you, John. Thanks.